Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Today, I am here to give you the assurance that I have not forgotten you.
If we want to see the new evangelization become more than just jargon, if we want to see it grow legs and gain traction and change the world, we have got to take seriously our responsibilities as husbands and fathers, and especially as sons of God.
I want to propose to you then that something that our world is desperately in need of in the midst of this crisis is Catholic Christian masculinity.
If you want to be a good father, then bring your children to confession with you.
I can't get there unless I become a man of ascesis, a man of asceticism, a man of training.
A man not doing penance, a man not disciplined, is not a man.
You guys have upped your game.
You know what, guys? I gotta say, I love this concept of Man Show.
Warning: The Catholic Man Show is about to begin.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass.
Raise them up.
Adam Minahan.
Raise them up.
Sitting here with my best bud, David Niles, with Juan on the keys. If you're listening live, you got an opportunity. What an opportunity for you to listen to our intro twice to really get excited.
What a blessing. What a blessing, really.
To get excited about the show.
Yeah.
That is what you had the opportunity to do. Dave, I'm pumped about this week. This is going to be a crazy week for us.
I also am very excited about this week.
I'm excited yet...
get to go to Phoenix.
Yes. So on Wednesday morning, we're going to give a talk to the St. Bernard's Men's Group.
Very early.
Very early.
At a manly early hour.
So I'm flying back to Tulsa on Tuesday at my... Hopefully... Let's pray. Everybody say a prayer.
God willing.
That my plane arrives back into Tulsa at 10:30 at night. And then at 5 o'clock? Is it 5 or 5:30?
5:30.
At 5:30 in the morning, we're giving a talk to the St. Bernard's Men's Group. Is the talk on friendship? Yes.
Friendship.
Discipleship.
In the context of discipleship.
Okay, so we're giving that talk. And then on Thursday, we head out to one of my favorite dioceses outside of the Diocese of Tulsa in Eastern Oklahoma, which is the Diocese of Phoenix, with Bishop Thomas Olmsted.
Theonix.
Yeah, Theonix. We're going to get a chance. Juan is going to be going with us. We're going to go to the Phoenix.
El Juan.
We'll be going with us. We'll be going to the Phoenix Men's Conference. This is our fourth time to go there, which I'm super pumped about. Like, I'm so thankful that they're willing to have us to be a part of that conference.
Me too.
We're going to get a chance to interview Bishop Olmsted. We're going to get a chance to talk to Father John Hollowell. I'm hoping that we get a chance to interview with him.
I am sure that we will.
And Father John Parks. I really want to interview Father John Parks while we're there.
Yeah, I'd like to get him on the show somehow. That would be hard to do because I don't know if he travels, you know,
right.
If he does that sort of stuff.
So most of those interviews are going to be available to our Patreon members only. We're not going to make an episode. It'll be a member interviews for our Patreon members. You can go to Patreon and look up the Catholic Man Show and become a patron and get those interviews. So I'm really excited about that. Also, we're leaving a day early so that we get a chance to go play golf in Phoenix in February.
We have some extra work to do. Just really checking some of the landscaping. We're doing, you could say, a grass audit of a specific selection of the Phoenix area.
Yes.
Going to be auditing some of the terrain, the turf.
Which will be fun.
Yeah.
I'm really
through different methods.
I think it'll be fun to see how well our golf game is in February. I went to Topgolf this last weekend and tried my swing out.
I saw the video you sent me. I don't think you were swinging hard enough.
That's the problem. I wasn't swinging hard
enough. If you watch the pros, they kill it.
Right.
Okay, so if you want to be like the pros, you have to swing as hard as you can. I've seen them.
Right.
That's what they do. That's what they do.
Right.
Be like them.
So anyway, I'm really excited about doing that. And then we have, right after that, we have the Oklahoma Men's Conference. And then we're going to, we have a list of places that we're going to be going soon.
The Oklahoma Men, you know, I know that people might not think like, oh, Oklahoma Men's Conference, you know, Oklahoma is not exactly known as a Catholic place. But let me just tell you, after traveling around the country, only a little bit, but like seen a good handful of other conferences, the Oklahoma Men's Conference is top notch.
It is. And there's like 1,200 guys that show up for the Oklahoma Men's Conference, which is really good.
It's a sellout. It's a sellout crowd.
Yes. So I'm really excited about that as well. Today, we're going to be drinking Stranahan's.
But not just any Stranahan's.
This is from Juan. Right here.
Yeah, but we had another one.
It's down here. I'm bringing it up in here in just a second. So Stranahan's, dude, listen to this. So here's how Stranahan's started. There was a volunteer firefighter who answered the call that there was a barn on fire, so he went to go help. And it turns out the guy's barn was Mr. Stranahan. Don't remember his first name, but and he is a beer and whiskey connoisseur.
Gotcha.
And they started talking after they put out the fire. Big point. After they put out the fire.
Yeah, okay. Just a regular barn, not like a whiskey barn.
No, not a whiskey
barn. Just a barn.
Just a barn.
Regular barn stuff.
And they started talking and realized they had whiskey in common. They really enjoyed it. And so they're the ones who started Stranahan's.
Oh, he was the owner of Flying Dog, the beer connoisseur.
Oh, the beer connoisseur was the owner of Flying Dog as well. That's what Juan just told us.
Oh.
So I wasn't aware of that. So anyway, Juan went up to Colorado about a year ago, picked up this bottle of Stranahan's. It's cask strength. We've done a bottle of Stranahan's before a while back ago. But this one is cask strength. So it's 109.9 proof. So it's going to be strong. One of the good things about Stranahan's new bottles is that one of their signatures is they have this little the tin on top. However, it's now twist
unscrew.
Off.
You, because you used to have to take like a grinder. I have literally seen videos of people with this thing in a vise unable to pull the cap off. And so like having to literally grind the top off so that they could drink the whiskey.
Yeah, and there were some people who would grab, because sometimes it was stuck on there really good, sometimes it wasn't. They would grab this silver top, lift it,
and it would break.
And it would fall out. So they got smart and put a screw
like
on there.
I like it.
So I'll let you open it, Dave, and I'll let you pour them. The cool thing about Stranahan's,
we'll pour Juan's glass first, since
the cool thing
he did
about
the honors.
Stranahan's is that Stranahan's was one of the first like 50 whiskeys that we tried on the show. And we actually have a bottle that I have not opened yet. It's from one of the distillers from Stranahan's, and he made it specifically for us. Yeah, I'll put it on my camera. And it says on the label, it says, "Warning, contains high levels of manliness." So he made it just for us, for the Catholic Man Show.
It's pretty epic.
It's really cool. So anyway, it says, warning, contains high levels of manliness. It's a it's not the cast strength. It's just the regular strength of hands. It's not opened. I probably will not open it for, I don't know when I would open it.
But. They sent one to both of us, and I didn't have the patience that you did. So I drank mine a long time ago.
Yeah. So anyway, okay, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus. Do you think the color is any different in this
compared to the other Stranahan's?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I think it's very similar.
You can always tell on the nose if it's
cast strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strong smell, but you get a lot of the malted barley right immediately. Totally. Is what I. What are those tasting notes say?
So these are from whiskey.net. These are community tasting notes.
Okay.
So on the nose, they're saying malt, cooked fruit, peach, allspice, and honey.
Okay. I get the sweetness. I don't know if I necessarily get the peach.
I'm trying to get even the honey. I'm not.
I do get a sugar.
I don't get allspice. But,
Okay, so it's very aggressive. If you like rye whiskey, I think you would like this as well.
Yeah, this isn't a rye, but
it's not a rye. It is, but it's very aggressive.
Yeah. It's definitely in a rye vein.
Yes. Well, I mean, and it's very strong. I mean, it's a 109 proof, so it's gonna be strong.
Yeah, it's hot. It's kind of got a hot flavor, not spicy.
The finish is not very very long. I thought it would be longer for a cask.
I swished it all around my mouth, and so mine's really lasting a lot longer.
Okay, well maybe that's just my fault, but it doesn't seem like that there was near as long of a finish as what I thought there would be.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Let me see.
Let's see on here, it says this bottle of Stranahan's Rocky Mountain single malt was hand selected by master distiller Rob Diedrich. Every barrel is unique and yields a one of a kind cast strength whiskey. It is staff single barrel number 13.
Number 13. Lucky number 13.
Lucky number 13.
Not that we believe in luck here on the Catholic Man Show, but all the same.
I do like that.
We do believe in significant numbers. Hey, Juan, what's the price tag on this?
Mid-50s.
Mid-50s.
You can only get it in the distillery.
Only get it in the distillery. Kind of makes it even more special.
Okay. There's other whiskeys that they have out, like the Sherry Cask. They have a Sherry Cask that's come out. They have the regular. And they also have a single barrel, but it's not cask strength, that is available outside of... the distillery.
Yeah, available at distribution.
At distribution. So this is really nice. It'll be interesting to see how shapes
let's,
up.
Let's keep trying it.
All right. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan and Juan Posada in the house. One thing we didn't mention about this whiskey, here on the tasting notes in this website that I pulled up.
Sure.
On the taste, one of the tasting notes on the tongue, digestive biscuits. Just figured I'd throw that out there.
I don't even know.
I don't know what a digestive biscuit is.
Nor do I.
Maybe I should know. Maybe I'm missing something in my life.
I feel like you're not. I feel like that it's better to not know.
Yeah. But anyway, that is one of the tasting notes.
Okay. How's Exodus 90 going for you so far?
Not bad. What is it, like day 12, day 10?
Yeah, 12, 13.
Somewhere in there. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think. I think I have got my minimum 20 minutes of prayer in every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think like, oh, a couple times I have still failed to do my examination of conscience.
At the end of the night?
Not on purpose.
Right.
I just forget to do it.
Right. Dude, I've lost a lot of weight.
I've lost 6 pounds.
I've lost 8.
Have you?
Since I started, yes.
Well, you need to eat.
Well, the problem, yeah.
During mealtimes only.
Only, right.
Only.
Right.
So what's your go-to so far for what discipline are you relaxing on Sundays?
So the first Sunday was TV, but that wasn't necessarily my choice. It was that I was going over to my parents' house and I just knew that everybody was going to be watching the TV.
Mm, that is hard.
And so I didn't necessarily...
Because it's like, if the TV is on, that's one thing, but if everybody's sitting down to watch it...
Yeah, and they were watching a football game, which...
You're forced into it.
I was interested in the football game.
Yeah, that's
but,
okay.
But
yeah.
It wasn't like that would have been what I would have chosen for that Sunday.
Yeah.
So the first Sunday I did the TV. The second, this Sunday, I did... I went to American Solera and got a couple beers.
Nice.
Which have been very nice.
Last Sunday, I did alcohol.
Uh-huh.
But then I realized that's a bad choice. I can actually go without that. What I can't go without is like brownies.
Ooh. Mm.
You know what I mean? And the Lord has seen fit to show this to me. That he has put so much in my life lately. Like, not just any cookies. I'm talking like Merritt's Bakery cookies, you know, and just... all of this just fantastic looking stuff. And it's like, yeah, I didn't realize how like dessert.
Right.
I like it.
One of the benefits has definitely been I've been killing it reading. I've been knocking out books that I've been wanting to, like, that I've...
I have been reading less. I have less time for reading.
Oh, really?
Because...
I've been reading way more.
Like, because one thing I'll do is read in adoration, and now my time in adoration is more filled up between, you know, in just silent meditation.
Mm.
So I'm losing 20 minutes in adoration.
I'm doing it at night, after I put the kids down.
You see, what I'm doing is, because I have adoration chapel basically across the street from my office, I'm trying to get to work... I swing by the Adoration Chapel before work, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's talk about our man gear.
Okay, before we do, can I
if it's quick,
it's
Adam,
very quick.
I'll allow it. That's
so
fine.
one of the books that I've been hitting on is The Peepster, which I can't suggest him enough, Joseph Pieper.
Yeah, yeah.
And this small little book by Ignatius. It's a brief reader on the...
A lot of his books are concise,
very readable,
easy, approachable, even though sometimes he's a little heady, but at least it's not a tome.
So this book is called a Brief Reader on the Virtues of the Human Heart. Let me just read you the first sentence of this book.
Okay.
Tell me if you like this or you dislike it.
Is it poetic? He is a poetic writer.
Just tell me if you like this.
Yeah, sorry.
Virtue is the utmost of what man can be. It is the realization of the human capacity of being. That is the first sentence of his book.
I like it.
Is that not epic? Like, to me,
it is
like,
the utmost of what man can be. I mean, by definition, it is, because virtue is the power of man. So if you have power, it must be virtue. If it's not a virtue, it's not actually a power that you have.
And it's a realization of the human capacity of being.
Yeah.
It was like, bam. That if you had to start a book with one sentence that is on virtue, that is a...
That's
sweet.
That one's pretty solid. There was one I found.
Sweet.
In the Four Cardinal Virtues, that was like, it was poetic, deep, philosophical. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was this deep philosophical sentence just wrapped in the beauty of poetry. It's like, when I read
really
it,
good.
I said, that is a perfect sentence.
I've been reading John Senior as well, The Restoration of Christian Culture.
Yeah.
And we're going to be having Scott Hambrick on pretty soon
to talk about
John Senior, which I'm really excited about as well.
His qualities and some of his shortcomings, maybe. Who knows? But.
Yeah, and what Father Bethel thinks of John Senior. Because he read Father Bethel's really, I mean, it's like 400 and some odd page book.
Yeah, I have that book. I just bought it.
You did?
Well, I bought it at the camp out.
Oh, you did?
I haven't read it yet.
Well, it's like a 400 page book, and it's...
Yeah, I guess. I mean, when I bought it, I don't remember thinking that's a big book, but it's not a small book.
And it's a tough read, is what I've heard.
Okay.
But anyway.
Good. I like hard things.
We can get...
Because I'm a man. So here's the man gear for today.
This is a gear that I think is not a good man gear.
That's an inside joke. Okay.
This is a gear that I proposed.
What might look like just a...
2 years ago, and Dave said, no, that's a stupid gear.
Yeah, I did say that.
And here we are.
I didn't... I'm not sure I used those words, okay? But it was early on, and I think that I was saying, like, we have... There's other more obvious, like, actual gear, things you might wear. Accoutrement of a man. However, this is awesome. Are you satisfied, Adam, with that? Are you satisfied?
If you're watching the YouTube video, I think they'd be aware.
Are you satisfied?
Sure.
Because I want to make sure you're satisfied before we keep going.
Very, very.
Okay. Inside are a lot of things.
So wait, you can't see. It's a canister?
I said it might look like a silver canister, but you were too busy going on with your prideful self over there. Okay?
Sorry. Through my fault.
Very grievously of you. Okay, so inside, it's a travel holy kit. Mm-hmm. I forget exactly what it's called. Look, there's stuff inside. Inside, holy water, crucifix, salt.
Exercise salt.
Oil. Well, when you get it, it won't be blessed because you cannot sell blessed items.
Okay, what he did was he sent that as a gift to us.
He gave this to us, and so he had the ones he gave to us, he had exercised.
I'm sorry.
Okay. But there is oil.
Salt, oil.
A rosary.
A rosary.
And then a bunch of these.
That they need to know what these are.
Oh, right. These are Benedictine medals and miraculous medals. Yes. A lot of those. And then there's also instructions on here on how to make sure you get everything blessed, how to use sacramentals, all the sacramentals appropriately. But what we do, there's a lot of stuff that comes with it. What we do is we keep it, this, in our suitcase. We just leave it in there so that when we go to pack,
it's already there.
It's already in the suitcase. Because I have just some holy water that I got on it, like a keychain. And I said, oh, this would be great for traveling. Because I've got holy water at home, but I always forget to take it with me.
Yeah, and this is from CatholicSacramentals.org.
CatholicSacramentals.org. Phenomenal website.
And they are blessed already.
These are blessed. He put this sticker. These cans were for like a separate fundraiser that he put together.
Okay.
But the ones he sells on his website, the contents will not be blessed.
Okay.
And so it's just perfect. There are other things. The Catholic Woodworker has another kind of
traveling kit
like this. Whenever he goes to like a hotel, the first thing he does is find a place to hang the crucifix. You know, set up like a little prayer altar. There's plenty of room in this can to put some other stuff if you wanted to.
Sure.
Like some candles or maybe another statue. So. It's just great to have because when you travel, it's so easy to get out of your routine of prayer.
That's the truth, man.
It happens to me almost every time I travel where it's like, oh, because I'm such a routine guy.
Right.
And so if I'm not going through that routine, it all falls apart. My whole life falls apart. You know what I'm saying?
So it's a perfect canister that has basically all the sacramentals that you need.
Right.
In a very compact
And right now, if you go to his homepage, it's there on the homepage. CatholicSacramentals.org. Also, just check out his other website. Everything that he has on there, it's run by a buddy of ours. Everything that he has is heirloom quality. Like, if you order something from his website, it will be exquisite.
Yeah, it's very... Yeah, I agree with you. I bought the Summa from him.
Yeah, in that like 5-volume set with that's very like scrolly and awesome.
One of the things about when I do travel is this is why I like this thing is because like you said you get out of rhythm.
Yeah.
And in my house it's very easy to orient myself back towards God because we have a lot of art, we have a lot of crucifixes all over the place.
And your prayer is right there at the foot of your bed.
Right.
When you see it and it's like, oh, I need to pray. And for me, as soon as I walk out of my room, there's my there's my little oratory.
Right.
So I can't forget about it. Yeah.
This provides that reminder to make sure that like, no, I need to be praying. I need to make sure. Also, it's just really good to be blessing wherever you are with holy water.
Right. Because like, let's be honest, you don't, in your hotel room, it might not actually be like that holy of a place. Okay. You don't know what's been going on in that room, like the day even earlier when you got there. So throwing a little exercise salt around the joint, not a bad idea. You know what I'm saying? It ain't going to hurt.
It's great for a guy who's traveling.
Totally.
He travels a lot.
Yeah.
I'll be taking that, and I'll also be taking my little altar set from Catholic Woodworkers as well when I'm traveling.
Nice.
So when we get back, we're going to talk about Catholic spirituality.
Part
again,
two.
Based off of everybody's request.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sipping a little bit of Stranahan's single barrel cask strength, brought to you by Juan Posada. Just got done talking about a little sacramental canister. What do you call it? Is that an appropriate?
It's called a travel kit.
Okay.
I had it pulled up on my phone earlier.
CatholicSacramentals.org.
But I cleared it away unintentionally.
Yeah. Okay.
That's something I did.
One of the episodes that we did recently was on Catholic spirituality.
Three episodes ago, I think.
And we had a lot of great feedback from it, surprisingly.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, oh, it was a good episode, but we had people ask for more, so.
So what we decided to do is, well, we'll just,
we'll do a couple more, because there were a couple that we didn't get to that I wanted to get to.
Right. And so we're just expanding on the Catholic spirituality that we had a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We did. Remind us what we did.
Okay, so yeah, if it might be a good idea if you didn't hear the other one to go back and listen to it three episodes ago. We did Benedictine, Franciscan, Dominican, and Ignatian. I like to say Ignatian spirituality, not Jesuit spirituality, for obvious reasons.
And you made the claim that you thought most people would prefer Ignatian, like. Would prefer Ignatian spirituality.
Whether or not you inherently have an Ignatian spirituality, the spiritual exercises, which essentially wraps all of that, is kind of what Ignatian spirituality is. It brings all of those facets together, is designed for everybody.
See, I think that if I was going back and I was discerning a vocation and I decided, like, I'm going to discern the priesthood of some sort.
Yeah.
I would definitely see how I would react to a very rigid, structured day, like the Benedictines at Clear Creek Monastery, where it's very structured, very rigid, prayer, work, prayer, work, prayer, work.
Yeah.
And just see how I would react to that, because I think that I would like almost romanticize about it, like, oh, that would be so awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know exactly how I would feel.
Just so manly, just praying and working.
Yeah. And I don't know exactly how I would feel on day 3 of doing this.
Right. Or day 30.
Right. I'm not sure. So it'd be interesting to see how that would play out. But it's attractive to me from the outset.
When we were in Clear Creek in October for the camp out, one day we got out of Mass and I was walking back to the campsite. And there was this monk outside in his habit. And I have on a coat, my like snow boots. I mean, it was cold. It was very cold.
And wet.
Yeah, and it was very, very wet. And I look over and there's a monk in kind of a jacket in Birkenstocks with no socks.
Wow.
Outside working. Just working.
Way harder than me.
Like, you know, like it's nothing. Just working.
Wow.
No socks on. It was freezing in Birkenstocks. And that's when I realized I'm a wimp.
Yeah.
Like, I am a wimp.
What are the four that you want to do?
Okay.
Today. So we did those four last time.
I don't want to, you know, give away the ending. So, not that there is like a big ending, but let's just go through them one at a time.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, one of the ones we mentioned last time that we didn't actually get to cover was a Carmelite spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We did shout out the Frank Friar. Father Nicholas.
Yeah.
A great follow on Twitter, Facebook, and whatever for more Carmelite spirituality.
Yeah, yeah. And so Carmelite spirituality is kind of difficult to tie down because in the beginning of the order, they were hermits living in a cave. And then at some point, they left the cave and came out into the cities and became a teaching. They were teachers. They were highly educated teachers. And then at some point, they went back to being cloistered. You know, so it's like, what is a Carmelite spirituality? Because the order has changed over time. So the Carmelite order is really one of reform. And so I think that most people would identify a Carmelite spirituality with the works of St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, and St. Therese of Lisieux.
Lisieux.
Thank you for that correct pronunciation.
Yes.
Especially St. John of the Cross. I mean, he's... And St. Teresa. I mean, it's hard to say that one of them is bigger than the other, more influential. But to me, The Dark Night of the Soul is...
A book by St. John of the Cross.
It's a book by St. John of the Cross, and it's tough to get more powerful than that. I mean, that one resonated for me more than some of the works of St. Teresa of Avila. That's just me.
Have you read the Interior Castles or anything?
Yeah, Interior Castle... I was all excited about reading it, did not actually do much for me. And it may have been a book that just I wasn't ready for, you know, like I will read it again someday.
Sure.
And probably get a lot out of it. But when I read it the first time, I didn't get much out of it.
So part of one of the...
And just for the record, I'm alone on that. I mean...
Yeah, you're the minority.
I don't want to discourage someone from reading it because it is a work of spiritual depth. I know.
Right.
I just wasn't in... It wasn't ready.
Either
I wasn't
part
ready
of
it.
That book or another book she read, she wrote, was called Way of Prayer, and it was just a part of that book that ended up becoming its own little book, and it was basically on the Our Father, how to meditate on the Our Father.
Interesting.
That book, like if you just look up The Way of Prayer by Teresa of Avila, that book really changed the game for me on the Our Father. And I think Haley's been reading it. Slowly, and it's like it's one of those books that you can read very, very slowly, and get a lot out of.
Yeah. So
sorry to interrupt, but she said like I don't know how people can meditate past just the words Our Father. She would like start the Our Father.
Saint Teresa of Avila.
Yeah. She would start the Our Father and not be able to get past
the
two words of Our Father.
Right. Yeah. Hours later, she's still pondering that deep mystery.
The Our Father
is actually mind blowing.
Right. It's like, wow.
That God.
I'm so far away from being able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So are we. So am I. I mean, I have a mouse in my pocket. So the motto of the Carmelite order is Zelo zelaris sum pro domino deo exercitum. Which, of course, means with zeal I have been zealous for the Lord, God of hosts. So with the Carmelite spirituality, you got to ask yourself, do you feel like the attachments of day-to-day life get in the way of your relationship with Christ? Do you feel called to live a life of asceticism? Do the writings of St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila speak to you in a special way?
It's a very prayerful spirituality.
It is. And so I think maybe the defining characteristic of the Carmelites is the interior journey. So St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila both write profoundly on the point how God exists within you. And you don't need to go out into the exterior world like the Franciscans do. You know, it's just compare and contrast. The Franciscans are kind of known for being in nature, being out in the world. By contrast, the Carmelites are cloistered typically and go interiorly to find themselves. I mean, St. Teresa of Avila even named the book The Interior Castle. So it's an inward journey where they find God residing in the soul.
Okay.
There are some, I think, dangers to doing that by yourself. You can end up in like a New Age movement. I mean, because the New Age movement, they do that. They go interiorly and they end up seeing themselves as God. So as a Catholic, you'll be fine if you're doing it on Catholic terms. You know what I'm saying? They meditate on the Word of God, liturgy, silence and solitude, asceticism. These are all things. Carmelite spirituality proposes silence and solitude as necessary prerequisites for prayer and contemplation. And it's not only exterior silence, but interior silence as well, which is why solitude is so important. They put an emphasis on seeing suffering as part of God's plan for your own sanctification. So that can be very easily seen in The Dark Night of the Soul. That was the book that when I read it, I realized I shouldn't be afraid of The Dark Night. The Dark Night is actually...
It's a progress.
Count yourself lucky if it's something that you're experiencing. And I know like if you're in it right now, you don't feel lucky, right. You know, but it is a sign of God's love being poured out upon you, that he's chosen you so special to purify you in this way.
Mm-hmm.
Also, St. Therese of Lisieux was a Carmelite.
Lisieux.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
You're welcome.
So the next one I want to get to, we can just broach the topic here, is Opus Dei. I did not know this, but Opus Dei is not even officially Opus Dei. Opus Dei is their motto. The work of God. Officially, they are the Prelature of the Holy Cross. That's the name of the order.
Hmm.
Who knew?
Not I.
And they don't really seem to care to correct anybody on that point.
Very interesting.
Yeah, but Opus Dei is their motto. They do go by Opus Dei, so it's like it's kind of like they have a doing business as title. You know what I'm saying?
And that was by Jose Maria Escriva.
Escriva.
He was like
he invented Twitter before Twitter.
He was like the meme. He was like the meme writer before memes were even a thing.
Right. Yeah. He's just like, hey guys, you're gonna want this someday.
You know, I just finished Cardinal Seurat's book, The Power of Silence. Is it what silence? What's the silence
Power of
book?
Silence.
Power of Silence. And he writes very similar to Jose Maria Escriva in that book, like where it's just like little chunks, little tidbits, like. Here's a number and this thought, and here's a number and this thought. And I love like reading that from Jose Maria Escriva. And
yeah, it gives you some, it's easy to meditate on.
Great for adoration and great for like as you're working through the day and you just want to take a moment to pray or like to reorient your mind.
Open it up,
read a little.
Pull out something random, yeah.
Three sentences and all of a sudden you're like, okay, getting back into it.
Yeah.
So... Anyway, we'll keep going.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about different Catholic spiritualities. Why does it matter? Well, God gave us all different gifts. Some of those different gifts would be used in different ways. And the thing about God is that he's so great. There are many ways of approaching him, many ways of appreciating his creation, of which we are a part. He's laid out a specific path for all of us to follow. We all have different paths, and because of that, we have different gifts in order to walk that path the way Christ desires, which means that we all are going to have a different way of approaching him. That's one of the things that he said to the little flower. The reason why he made us all different is to add to the beauty of God's creation, okay? So some of us are big roses, some of us are little flowers. And so different spiritualities are a natural outpouring of the variety and beauty of God's creation. If we were all the same, it wouldn't be as beautiful. But he made it people as numerous as the flowers of the field. So we're talking about some of the different spiritualities today. Maybe you can find one that you identify with. And if you can, that can maybe help your prayer life, help the way you approach holiness, sanctity. So it's just good to have a good grasp of some of these things. And you might not say, oh, I fit into one, but you might actually say, oh, I take some of this from that one, and I like the way this one does this over here. It's okay to take pieces and parts from all of these and put them together. So
I'm really glad you started out that way. That was really good.
Thank you.
Ultimately, let me sum up. Please. Ultimately, it was like, how do we get closer to Jesus?
Yes, I love it. When you do research on all of these, they all pose it like, look, what really makes a Carmelite spirituality is prayer. Oh, prayer. That's what makes you different from everybody else.
Right.
You know, so like they all are basically 99% the same. You know,
the answer is Jesus.
Jesus is the answer for all of them. But, you know, how do you find Jesus? So anyway, there's different ways, different strokes for different folks.
Not that all of them are correct.
No, but we're all talking about correct ones. We're only talking about correct ones.
I just
ones.
Wanted to make sure.
Yeah, because we're only talking about Catholic spiritualities.
There you go.
Yeah. So we were talking about the Opus Dei. It's actually a newer organization that has been founded. It's not an official religious order. I forget the actual title, but it's a little bit different. So for the Opus Dei, you have to ask yourself, are you convinced that holiness is found in boardrooms and lunchrooms, as well as chapels and churches? And if so, consider the Opus Dei. So the Opus Dei, where the real spirituality is about taking your work, your daily tasks, and using them as your path to sanctity. Like if you are a teacher, then your teaching, your work, this is the work that God has given you. Mm-hmm. And so you should offer it up as a way of being sanctified, and that you not only get sanctified through your work, but you sanctify your work through this process.
It's one of those orders, like when you hear it, you're like, yes, I should do that, but I should be better at that. And I'm attracted towards that, but I just am terrible at it.
Me too, dude. Me too. I don't
want to like make a cold call for Jesus.
Right. Exactly.
You know, like I don't like cold calls.
Yeah. It's like, there's no way Jesus really, fine. He probably does. He probably wants me to make a whole lot of them actually. And
right. It's hard for me to take things that I'm doing in the secular world and apply them, like, no, this is for, like, I'm offering this up for Jesus.
Yeah.
For my family.
Yeah. Anyway. So this particular one here, the stuff I'm getting from on the Opus Dei is from the same article I pulled the last stuff from the last episode on, which is escaping me at the moment, but maybe it's First Things, maybe not, maybe it's something else. I don't remember actually, but it's from that same article. So there are 3 points to Opus Dei spirituality. First is that they stress integrating the secular into one's spiritual life. Rather than seeing everyday life as a problem to be overcome, it's part and parcel of where we sanctify ourselves. Second is an emphasis on work as a whole range of activities, and they see that as the path to sanctity. And third is that they strongly stress the reality of being sons and daughters of God, to give an optimistic and positive tone to love. God really does love us and is concerned about each of us. Okay, so Opus Dei is the work of God. The work you're given is the work you're to be doing. So for the next spirituality, Adam, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to read the phrase to you, the motto. Okay. You can tell. I want you to guess what it is.
Okay.
Stat cruxdom volt vitur orbis.
Okay, in English?
The cross is steady while the world is turning.
That's Francis de Sales.
No.
No?
So the questions you got to ask yourself for this spirituality.
I thought that was...
No.
Okay.
Go ahead. Do you experience clinically diagnosable levels of introvertedness? Do you struggle to remember the last time another person was actually inside your home? Is what others would call crushing loneliness your idea of a good vacation? If so, then a Carthusian spirituality might be for you. That, of course, is just a joke. I made all of that stuff up. Well, that is actually the Carthusian motto that I just read, but we're not going to talk about Carthusians today. They're hermits and they just live all by themselves. So it's just a joke. They're incredibly holy people. In fact, I think Father Donovan told me a story that one day at the Great Chartreuse in France, where the mother house is, they were doing this construction project. One thing about Carthusians is that they're buried in unmarked graves.
Right.
So people, you know, it's been around for like 1,000 years. They don't know where people were buried 800 years ago. So they were doing this construction project and they were digging, and they kept digging up all these incorrupt bodies that they had no record of people ever being buried here, because they did it a long time ago before there were records. And it's like, they asked the abbot and he said, like, yes, well, this is the natural result of the religious life. This should be the result of religion. I mean, yes, of course, supreme holiness, incorruptness, you know, like, he wasn't shocked. But they had to cancel the construction project because they realized, we can't build something here. There's like, it's a graveyard. It was, you know, wow. There's all these saints buried, and if we yeah. keep digging them up, we might find more, and like, we shouldn't do that. So,
wow.
The Carthusians, incredibly holy people. However, probably not your spirituality. Unless, of course, the things I just read, like, yes.
I do not like people.
I do experience clinically diagnosable levels of introvertedness, you know? So the next one I want to talk about is the Salesians, named after Francis de Sales. Okay, so this is a little confusing because the Salesian order was founded by St. John Bosco, but he founded it in honor of St. Francis de Sales.
Okay.
Okay, so the Salesian...
St. John Bosco was a man who did not care about how other people felt about his thoughts.
A lot of saints are that way.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
Like, if you read some of St. John Bosco, he has some strong opinions about things.
Yes. And we are running out of time, so we got to really get through this.
Okay,
so
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The Salesians order themselves, they do a lot of teaching, but they do pull a lot of their writings or their spirituality from St. Francis de Sales, obviously. So their motto is, Da mihi animas caetera tole, which means give me souls, take away the rest. Pretty good motto, I think. So you ask yourself, are you a people person who experiences God most in acts of gentleness, compassion, and optimism? The Salesians, they were founded by St. John Bosco, as I said, and they're very, very similar in many ways to Opus Dei in that they find and take the ordinary things of life and seek to sanctify them. Except one difference is that they do it with an outward, they put an emphasis on an outward disposition of humility, gentleness, civility, and optimism. So they would never do anything by force, almost like a pacifist.
Okay.
Their way is love, never by force.
Intro to the devout life is the bomb. If you mm-hmm. need a spiritual director, you can't find
just
one.
Just the other day.
Yeah, if you need a spiritual director, you can't find one. Read Intro to Devout Life.
Yeah, and then read it again,
It's a yearly read.
So they would say that humility, living in self-truth about who we are, both positive and negative, that's humility. And humility leads us to gentleness towards our neighbor because one is so aware of his or her own needs, and weaknesses that one extends to another person similar understanding and compassion. Civility and respect must be the mark and behavior of a truly gentle, devout Christian. And because we have a Savior, we are always optimistic.
Man, civility and respect, the mark of a true Christian, does not reflect Twitter.
And Catholic Twitter, specifically.
Yeah.
Okay, so finally we have the Vincentians.
Vincentians,
after Saint Vincent de Paul.
De Paul?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. They don't have a motto because he didn't actually found an order specifically. However, the Missionaries of Charity are founded.
Oh, Mother Teresa's?
No.
Is it? Oh, no, that's not Missions of Charity.
No, they're whatever. Not them.
Okay.
Not them. So if Vincent of Charity, think of Saint Labouré, the first American born woman, she founded all the schools.
Catherine Drexel?
No, but anyway, so the motto of the Missionaries of Charity is Caritas Christi Urgent Nos, which means the charity of Christ urges us. So for them, do you feel attraction towards corporal works of mercy, especially works of service for the poor? One thing that we learned from St. Vincent is that he teaches us to see Christ in the poor and suffering, so much so that the poor become our lords and masters, and we their servants. I mean, that's a pretty powerful statement. Vincentian spirituality is centered around this concept. Jesus said, whatever you did for the least of my brothers, that you did unto me.
Okay. Is Elizabeth Ann Seton.
Elizabeth Ann Seton. Yes.
Thank you, Margot and Kathy.
I knew that someone would come through us. Elizabeth Ann Seton.
So which one do you associate with the most out of those four?
Out of these four, I would say Carmelite. Because I really dig St. John of the Cross.
I want to be more Carmelite because it's more mysticism.
I wear the brown scapular.
Right,
yeah.
Me as well. Great job, man.
Thank you.
We'll be in Phoenix soon.
I have a bonus one for us. after this episode.
Okay.
We'll keep it going.
Okay.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... A few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.